Tomorrow symbolizes hope.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing today? Yeah. All right. That was an amazing worship. Alex, I have to follow that. Really? Thank you, bro. Setting the bar high. Appreciate it. My name is Augustine, for those of you who don't know me. I've been coming to Cafe Church. I've been here since 2010. And I've been serving within, I've served in a lot of ministries, actually, but my main ones now, I serve in youth ministry, and I also serve as the part of the English service team. So I was kind of like at the beginning stages of all of this, right? And so to see it flourish and to see it come to life has been an amazing experience. And why don't you give a round of applause to everybody that helps make this possible. I'm recently going to be a year married. Amen. Yes. Woo. My wife couldn't be here today. She's at an actual work retreat, living her best life, I guess, whatever. You know, I'm a little salty about it. I ain't tripping. Did she see me? Hey, babe, I'm going to be on my best behavior. I promise. Also, our pastor couldn't be here today because he's actually preaching at a marital conference out of the country. So y'all stay prayed up. Pastor, also, I will be on my best behavior, okay? But let's get to it, man. We are going to read out of the book of Exodus, but before we begin, will you stand up right there as we get into prayer and as we get into God's word? Will you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father God, first of all, we just give you all the honor and all the glory, Lord. I understand, Father God, that the platform is not an opportunity, it is a responsibility. So I pray that tonight you would give me clarity of mind in articulation of speech so that I can preach your word effectively. It is not about me, it is about you, God. And Cafe Church CX says, amen. You may be seated. So we're going to read off the book of Exodus, and Exodus chapter 5, verse 1 says the following. After this presentation to Israel's leaders, Moses and Aaron went and spoke to Pharaoh. They told him, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so they may hold a festival in my honor in the wilderness." For the past couple of weeks, we have been speaking about how those desert or wilderness moments of our life can be filled with uncertainty, pain, brokenness, and even suffering. And I believe that's why we have this idea that these processes in our life can be very, very, very unattractive and very, very difficult. If you really think about it, there is nothing appealing of having to go through a desert. There are moments in our life that if we could, we would avoid at all costs. I don't think anybody here would look forward to walking through a desert. And that's why the conversation that Moses has with Pharaoh in the passage that I just read sounds very confusing. When we begin to analyze the conversation, it would seem very contradicting that God would want the people of Israel to throw a festival in the wilderness, a party in the desert. Let me tell you something. If you are going to throw a party in the desert, do not invite me, thank you. I hate heat. Everybody knows that when Texas is at full 100 degrees, I can walk from my apartment to my car and the sweat's already coming down my back, and I really feel like when I gotta go to the restaurant, I need a shower after I got to the restaurant. So no, I don't do heat. Do not invite me to your party in the desert, thank you. I will pass. And that's why the conversation that Moses had with Pharaoh in this passage is so confusing. But let's think about Israel's current predicament, right? Israel was enslaved in Egypt, and to escape slavery meant to face that which is uncertain, the desert. And I truly feel that's why many of the Israelites that were enslaved and maybe had a means of escaping chose to remain in their current condition rather than to face that which is uncertain or unknown. Maybe, just maybe, they were used to their current lifestyle that they felt that there was no need to risk what they already knew for what they didn't even know, even if it meant being free. They were comfy. This is what I know. I don't like uncertainty. Don't move me. Don't ask me to do anything. I like it here. Appreciate it. But I confess to you that there are a lot of people right now, not just in church, but outside of church, that are living a certain lifestyle that has them enslaved or captive. Some of us right now are enslaved to a certain sin or maybe a toxic relationship. Some of us are enslaved to certain addictions, or maybe you're a slave to fortune and fame, or maybe you're living in depression or anxiety or whatever the case may be. And the sad part is that you cannot stand the condition that you find yourself in. But because you've been living in this condition for so long, you've become comfortable. You're comfortable with your current state. And therefore, you would prefer to remain in what feels comfortable, and you would rather stand in fear instead of stepping out in faith to face that which is unknown. And here's the real dilemma. The more we get used to our current condition, the easier it is to remain enslaved. And as time goes by, the harder it will be to let go and let God. But keeping it real, how many of us would rather retain or keep control over our life rather than surrender that control to Christ? I think the majority of us, if I'm honest. And that's why there are people in here today who came here today. You're listening to this message. You're going to listen to this message. And something inside of you is churning, and you have no idea what it is. It's unknown. You're not used to it. It's uncomfortable. But because it's something you can't understand or it scares you, then you're hesitant to give into it. It's complicated to comprehend that if you surrender your life to Christ, that there will be a genuine change and that life can be better with him. But I want to tell you tonight that you will never find peace in the current enslaved condition that you might find yourself in. If it's one thing I've understood, is that you will never find peace in what you can accomplish. You will never find peace in someone that sits next to you. You will never find peace in that job promotion. You will never find peace in your pills or whatever you might find yourself in. You will never find peace in anything that is exterior, because if I've understood something, is that peace is not found in anything that is exterior. Peace is found in someone who lives interior. Peace is found in Jesus. My pastor wrote this message, but I'm about to preach the mess out of it, y'all. Telling you, woo, man. And my mom's in the audience too. She probably don't understand a word I'm saying. I love you, Mama. But they came to support. I appreciate that. Look at Moses. Moses understood the challenge that was ahead of the people of Israel. He knew that freeing the people of Israel would mean leading them into a wilderness or a desert, which, if you truly think about it, it would seem worse than the current condition they were living in. Like, if you think about it, you're asking the people of Israel to leave slavery to go into a desert. That is not a promotion, God. That is a demotion. Thank you very much. But I want to tell you tonight that he was going to have to ask the Israelites to leave that which was comfortable and become uncomfortable, to abandon everything they knew and to place their trust in God for what was about to come next. And that reminds me of a story when Jesus calls his first disciples. And if you read the Gospels, and as Jesus calls his first disciples, he calls them to abandon everything, to abandon what they know and to follow him who they have yet to know, right? So they are following something that's comfortable. They are leaving something that's comfortable. They are leaving something that they're used to, and now they're going to follow Jesus into something that they are not used to, something they don't know. Jesus himself said, you can follow me, but I tell you, I don't know where we're going to sleep next. I don't know if we're going to eat. I don't know if we're going to get persecuted. I don't know what's going to happen. And tell me, you're not going to follow somebody who don't have a plan, right? It's unknown. It's uncomfortable. And Moses knew that it wasn't going to be easy to try and get a group of people who had been enslaved for 400 years in slavery and get them to take a leap of faith into a desert and have to place their trust in God while in the desert. But how many of us know that God just does what he does, right? He is not conventional, right? If it was conventional, he would say, we're going to throw a party at the nicest beach we can find, right? But no. God says, let my people go so that they may hold a festival in my honor in the wilderness. God understood that he was asking the people of Israel what God understood what he was asking the people of Israel to do. And so God wanted to make sure that they get started off on the right foot. He wanted them to throw a festival in his honor while in the desert, because not only was he about to set them free from slavery, but he was about to see them through the desert and into the promised land. Yes, the promised land was coming, but the wilderness awaited them first. But he wanted to make sure that God was their main focus, because God knew that there was no way they were going to get through this process without placing their complete trust and faith in God first. And it's the same for us. See, God is wanting to free you from slavery, position us in our process as he leads us into our purpose. Let me say that again. God is wanting to free you from slavery, position you to walk in your process so that he can launch you into your purpose. But the only way that's going to happen, the only way you're able to step out of slavery and into your process, and the only way you'll even make it through your process, is if you place your trust in Jesus. That's why the festival in the wilderness is for God. Because even though you are free, your will still needs to be his will. Once you're in your process, you cannot trust on your own understanding and abilities to get you through it. The festival is so that you understand that God doesn't have a plan, he has the plan, and any plan outside of that is a distraction. The party in the desert ain't for you, boo-boo. The celebration is for the one who is going to see you through, and together with him, you will be able to celebrate and worship in the middle of the unknown. See, what makes the desert and the wilderness appealing is not you standing in it. You are not the last Coke in the desert, player. You do not make the desert look appealing. The desert looks appealing and attractive because we are able to celebrate in the unknown because we know him. And he will see us through. The answer in the festival is for Jesus, who is going to hold you through whatever process you have to go through. So, I want to give you a few points about how Scripture shows us how to escape slavery and reach our divine purpose without giving up in the unknown wilderness. 4 points that I'm going to give you tonight. And those 4 points come from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. If you have your Bible, open up the book, open up your Bible app, or I'm still old-fashioned, man. I still need the Gideon on my hands, you know what I mean? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7 says this. Y'all, I am sweating my butt off. I know tonight I'm going to burn at least 500 calories. Minimum, I hope. We'll see. I'm a little, burn a little weight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is what Scripture says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do. And he, not anybody else, he will show you which path to take. I like this part. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So point number one, trust in the Lord. It's pretty simple, right? Trust in God. Trusting in God is the key to escaping whatever it is you are a slave to. When God gave Moses the different signs to show the people of Israel that Moses had spoken to God is so that they could believe what Moses was saying. Now, once God's people saw the authority in the signs, they were able to trust completely in God, even though they were going to have to face the wilderness. And in those difficult moments of our life, which come to test the genuineness of our faith, we have to be dependent and fully trust in Him who holds everything under control. Trust me when I tell you, to trust in God, I am not giving you good advice. I am giving you the answer. Trust in Him who, even what seems out of control, is still under His perfect control. Do not depend, point number two, do not depend on your own understanding. If we think that we are going to be able to understand how God operates in our lives, or how He sustains us, or why He loves us so much, or why He helps us, or how He strengthens us, or how He does what He does, or the fact that we live in a microwavable world, but we serve a crockpot God, if you think you are going to try to understand Him, you are going to find yourself frustrated and in a lot of problems. But when we understand that everything that God does in our lives is supernatural and that it surpasses our own understanding, because we know that our limited minds cannot understand an infinite God, then we'll be able to have the necessary faith to depend on God instead of allowing ourselves to depend on our surroundings. And I love Paul. Paul was such a radical. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Then, only then, will you experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So don't trust in the Lord. Do not depend on your own understanding. And point number three, seek God's will in all that you do. You will never be, listen to what I'm about to tell you. You will never be on the wrong path as long as the direction that you are going in aligns up with God's will. Let me tell you that again. You will never be on the wrong path as long as the direction you are going in aligns up with God's will. If you are single here today, make sure you marry the right one so that the wrong one doesn't keep you from your purpose. You will never be on the wrong path as long as the direction you are heading in aligns up with God's will. So therefore, the decision that you make in your life, every decision that you make in your life, needs to reflect with God's will. And that God has control, and that He holds your life. So every choice you make wanting only to please Him. And we see the struggle in the Bible. We see the struggle that the people of Israel had through their walk in the wilderness. We see that time and time and again, they struggled to do God's will, right? But those who remained faithful and did God's will got to see the promised land. And scripture shows us that when we seek Him, when we seek His will and all that we'll do, and all that we do, He will show us what path to take. Ah, but the universal question, how do I know what God's will is for my life? How? What do I know what God wants me to do? Well, I'm going to give you some quick pointers on how to discover that. Establish a relationship with God. Actually, let me rephrase that. Don't establish a relationship with God. Establish a genuine relationship with God. Obey what you have learned about God through Scripture, which means you need to get in your Word. Surround yourself with other people who are also seeking God's will, and seek more of the Holy Spirit's power and presence in your life. So point number one was trust in the Lord. Point number two was do not depend on your own understanding. Point number three is seek God's will in all that you do. And point number four is fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. I want to tell you tonight that it is the fear of God that is going to keep us firm in the middle of our deserts. In those desert moments of our life, we are going to be tempted to go back to what had us enslaved, because that's what we know, and that's where I'm comfortable. I went through a pretty nasty desert in my life, where I made a lot of mistakes in that desert. Some of y'all who know me personally know what I'm talking about. Very, very difficult. And in my desert, I didn't do any of these four. I depended on my own. I did things my way. And in the process, I hurt a lot of people. I hurt myself as well. Because that's what we do. We want to do things our way and what's convenient for me, and how can I see myself get through this on my own terms? No, I don't need your help. And I even pushed away, like, you know, Jonathan, who's my best friend, I even pushed him away a little bit. You know, thankfully, you need a Jonathan in your life, trust me. Because the dude, bugging. That's why he's my best friend, though, man. He every day, I mean, I think almost every day, he would reach out to me. And, man, Jonathan, my dude. In those desert moments of our life, we're going to be tempted to look back at what he has done. We're going to go back to where he took us out of. And there are some Christians who have actually veered off the path and have gone back to where God took them out of. And it's not because they're hypocritical. It's because our flesh, our natural self, that's what it wants. It wants to go back to what it knows. It wants to be comfortable. But I want to tell you, it's imperative. It's imperative that you find peace in Jesus and that you never go back to who or what you left for him. Don't look back at it. Jesus is the answer. He will always be the answer. And in your desert, he will see you through. Would you stand with me tonight? I want to tell you that deserts are unavoidable. They really are. Everybody here is going to face something in their life that's going to test you and try to break you. It is. It's just part of life, right? And sometimes things come into your life that you have no control over. We had no control over COVID, and it happened, right? But God, who is good, who is always good, saw us through. And here we are. Full-blown English service going ham, hard as Moses. Would you be encouraged tonight that even though we are all going to face desert moments in our life where it feels like everyone has abandoned us, like you can't go any longer, that you've walked as far as you can, that you don't have the strength to continue, that you feel like God is not listening to you anymore, that your marriage is on the brink of divorce, that the breakup you had to go through almost broke you, that the addictions are calling back to you, that the pain and depression and anxiety are trying to take hold of you, would you be encouraged tonight that God has given you a word so that when those moments come, you can celebrate in the middle of the desert, because the fight that is in you is greater than the fight that is in front of you. The God that lives inside of you will hold you through the desert. Would you be encouraged tonight to put your trust in God? Maybe you're going through the desert already. maybe you are in your wilderness process right now, then this word should resonate all up in you. Will you give up, or will you give God praise right now in the middle of your desert? Can you understand tonight that your praise is a problem for your problems? And that what you thought was going to break you, you are now going to break through as you place your trust in God, who is about to launch you into the purpose for your life. Would you celebrate tonight that even though you are in your desert, God is going to see you through? That's where you are. If you're going through a wilderness right now, or if you're enslaved right now, sing it, sing it. Worship God in the middle of it all.
Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are
decision that you and I need to make, and that decision is completely up to you if you want to make it. So tonight, if you would close your eyes and bow your heads tonight, listen to what I'm about to tell you. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, listen to what I'm going to tell you right now. I'm not talking about that, oh, I accepted God when I was 13, I'm good. No, I'm talking about, are you certain tonight that if tonight your life ends, Jesus is going to be waiting for you, letting you know, enter into the peace, enter into my peace, good and faithful servant. Tonight, if that is you, if you are enslaved right now, and if you haven't accepted Jesus in your life, would you say this prayer with me tonight? Say, Jesus, I recognize that I am enslaved. I recognize that I'm not going to be able to do it on my own. I accept you as Lord and Savior. Come into my heart, change me, forgive me of my sins, in Jesus' name. And if you said this prayer with me, everybody with their eyes closed and head bowed, if you said this prayer with me, would you raise your hand right there where you are? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Anybody else? Don't be afraid. Make that decision tonight. I'm telling you, it's the best decision you will ever make in your life. Here's my next calling. Maybe you're a longtime Christian and something still has you trapped. Maybe you're in your wilderness right now and you're like, ah, I've been trying and trying and trying and trying and trying and nothing seems to work. Would you, right there where you are, would you trust, would you surrender it all to Jesus right now? Now.
Thank you so much for watching this message. And if this impacted you in any way and you'd like to know what the next step is, go ahead and send the word accept to 94090 and one of our staff will contact you. And we have several resources here available at Cafe for your spiritual growth. Everything that we do here is for one more, until everybody can declare that there is nothing better than being a Christian.